You're listening to the Live Out Loud podcast with River Wynn and Michelle Flamer.
Hi, River.
Hello, Michelle.
What's happening?
Oh, just having a chill Saturday. I just got done with a group therapy session, which was amazing.
I love that. Were you leading it?
No, I'm not a sound therapist, but I have friends who are. So I try to go to their events.
Sound therapy is so lovely.
It is. It's my favorite form of therapy.
I do equate sound therapy to like the last part of a hard yoga session where they just tell you to lay down on the mat. It's literally the best part of all of that. And then with the sound piece, I take the best visual naps ever.
Yeah, I do a lot of deep journeying within self, and it's really beautiful.
Every single time or not every time?
Not every time. Actually, today it was kind of funny. My friend, the sound therapist, she came up to me as we were wrapping things up, and she was like, River, I could feel you in your body the whole time. I was like, yes, you're right. I was in my body. I just was like relaxed and chill and didn't really feel like going in a deep dive and just enjoyed it and let it just make me feel at peace. It was great.
I love that. Do we both have red? What do you have on? Oh, what's that?
Oh, this is one of our dear friend Angela's.
I know, I have on this one,
I think this is garnet, but I can't remember.
It's a cool color. It's literally matching your hair.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope. Our topic today, because this week is a year that your divorce is final. It was finalized, like
next
the anniversary
week.
Of your divorce next week.
Next week, March 16th. Yeah. And so we're recording ahead of that. But yes, it's been a year.
Does it feel like a year or does it feel like 10?
That's such an interesting question. It's surreal because I remember a year ago being in the thick of it and having just come out of going to court and mediation and like back and forth for months and wondering if it was ever going to be finished.
Mm-hmm.
And now here I am a year later, looking back going, whew, so glad I'm not there anymore.
I know, the messy middle, right? Like all of that.
Yeah.
The muck. We talk about the muck, the messy middle. The process.
The process. And it's interesting because it's like, okay, my process started 2.5-ish years ago, November 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, we're done. We're getting divorced. Like, I can't do this anymore. It's happening. Moved out December 1st, 2021. And then started our actual legal divorce process in August of 2022.
Do you feel like divorce leans heavily for, and I'll say because you're in a hetero marriage, you were in a hetero marriage, because I can't really speak to the gay divorces. I can, but I mean, it's just two women. Do you feel like typically, because that's heteronormative divorce is typical male and female.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it leans towards more like, is it a better experience for men, or, you know, is it, what do you think regarding gender roles through a divorce? I know. I don't know.
That's a hard one because you hear, you hear a lot of different stories. But I will say this, like, I don't know statistics, I don't know numbers or anything like that,
right.
But I will say what I personally have observed and personally have experienced and hear from a lot of friends and other people who are getting divorced in the process right now. What I hear is it's mostly women divorcing men. More often than not, there is, especially if there's kids involved, it's a struggle. It's not peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of areas, depending, you know, where you live, I know for me, I live very rural, but I think men sometimes tend to make out better in divorces than women do.
Is it
in my
just, do you
personal
think,
experience.
is it just because a lot of judges and everything are masculine? So,
I think our judicial system is extremely patriarchal still. And I say that because I got divorced in a rural county with a quote unquote liberal judge who looked at the evidence that I presented and still denied me some things that I should have won in the divorce. And I say that knowing that even I have friends in Portland who have gotten divorced, which is a very liberal city, and yet they are fighting ongoing legal custody battles that are draining and exhausting with men who are super narcissistic and a court system that doesn't believe women. And I see how exhausting and draining it is for them. And I'm going to say, of course, not all divorces and not all judges and not all court systems, but I think our American court system is still extremely patriarchal.
Are you holding an Avertine or whatever it is? Are we
No,
holding the same stone?
I'm holding a moss agate, but it's green.
Oh, moss agate. We're both holding green. That's so funny.
And you're wearing green.
And I'm wearing green. It's my Hike It Baby t-shirt, say.
I love Hike It, baby.
I know. No, so back to the divorce stuff. Like, I just always find it sort of interesting how I was watching a video about someone talking about divorces and how many times, how many of what the percentages are and all sorts of stuff with regards to women. And typically, I think it takes women 3 to 5 years on average to get to the place of peace out verbally. Like, I'm now making the steps to that. And it may be shorter when you don't have children, and it may be that longer trajectory, you know, more into the 4 to 5 year mark where there's kids involved. Just takes women a little bit longer to get to that place.
That tracks. I would agree with that. I know for me, in my experience, it was, I mean, I got married knowing that we probably weren't going to work out.
Oh my God, right? Like, really, I know. It's
It's
amazing how
not
many.
funny, but it's
It's
funny.
not, but I can't believe how many of my friends have said the same thing. They're like, I just knew, like, I shouldn't have done it. But I mean, I think it's just that universal. Obviously, we had lessons to learn.
Well, I think I look back to my wedding day and I look back and I'm like, I was so disassociated that entire day. And there
Yeah.
was something inside of me that was just like, somebody tell me I shouldn't do this. Somebody say something, you know? But I stuffed that voice down because at the time, I thought I was doing the right thing for my kids. I thought that, you know, relationships are just hard. You just get through it. I'm sorry. Marrying a chronic cheater is not just hard. Like
Well,
that's
that's a whole other
self-abandoning.
level. That is,
That's
that's
a whole other
self-abandoning.
level.
That is a
Yep.
whole other level, I think. And I don't know if those statistics are around cheating or anything like that. I think it's just when a woman is emotionally detached from the marriage, it's sort of within that 3 to 5 year range. So I guess.
Yeah, I think that makes sense because I mean, it really took me from the time we got married because we were married less than 3 years. Yeah, it was about 3 years. Yeah, a little bit less than that of going back and forth. I did a lot of late night Google searching of like, how do you know if you should get divorced? How do you know if your partner will ever change? Like, I have a long list of my Google searches from that time period. And, you know, and some of the women I've worked with coaching who are leaving relationships, that's a common question is like, how do you know you should get divorced? And my instinctive answer to that and like my experiences is that oftentimes you already know the answer. It just, it might take you longer to arrive at it.
Totally. I think, I mean, everyone has their own journey involved. And I think it depends on, like you said, like you had a cheater, if someone's an alcoholic, if someone's a gambler, if someone, I think, and I did the solo cast on it a year later. So what are, let's dive in a little bit to what you've learned about yourself this last year first.
It's
Sign the
interesting.
papers, because I mean, you can go back to that moment of after signing the papers and
I
how you
just
felt.
remember feeling like signing the paperwork. I signed it digitally, of course, because it came in an email. And I remember signing it and thinking, oh, it'll be a couple of days before I hear, like, oh, you're divorced, or, you know. And literally 20 minutes later, my lawyer emailed me back and she's like, congratulations, you're divorced. And I just, in that moment, I felt so much relief. So much relief. Like, oh, finally. Like, thank goodness. But the reality is that aside from the actual divorce, like, I was so done with that relationship for so long that the legality of the divorce just felt like a pain in the ass. Of I've been mentally and emotionally out of this relationship for a while, and now I have to do this legal process to get unmarried. And so it was a relief. Yeah, and I think since then, you know, I was thinking earlier about this. I was like, you know, the divorce process is like a dark tunnel. It's like a dark tunnel where you can't see the twists and turns ahead, or if it's going to go an incline or decline, and eventually you get to a point where there's a light at the end of the tunnel and you know you're going to emerge. And everybody's journey in that tunnel looks so different. And even now, a year later, there's things that come up for me that I am unpacking still and processing still. The healing journey takes time. And I think it looks
Yeah,
different for
for sure.
everyone. I think for me, the biggest pieces in the last year have been recognizing that that relationship, as shitty as it was, served a really important lesson. And never again. Never again. Am I going to date someone, marry someone, or self-abandon in a relationship in that
Totally.
kind of in that kind of energy? Like, my energy has changed. My expectations, my requirements are so vastly different. I'm a totally different person than I
I
was
know.
when the relationship started, halfway through it, at the end of it, and even a year ago. So I think it's just a good constant reminder. And of course, there's the frustration constantly of when you divorce someone that you have to try to co-parent with, because you're not just divorced and done, never see that person again. It's like, I have to interact with this person on a regular basis because we have children together. And so I think the biggest lesson for me in the last year has been also that I've had to really get grounded within myself so that the person I have to co-parent with doesn't trigger me. And come to a space, especially actually, this is something I went through in the last 2 weeks of really like leaning into, learning through, releasing, of just really acknowledging, okay, I'm a growth-oriented mindset kind of person. The parent of my children is not. The other parent of my children is not. And the person that he is now is most likely the person he's always going to be, and is this person he has always been. And so I've had to release my expectations of being met with equal energy in co-parenting, because the reality is I never received that in our relationship. So I realized, I was like, I can't expect him, now that we're divorced, to change as a parent, to change as a person, and meet me with different energy in our co-parenting relationship. I have to let that go and just accept him for who he is, where he's at, and be okay with that.
How long do we have to deal with? I'm like trying to do the math when we no longer have to like see our co-parent or talk to, I guess it's when the kid is out of college, probably, right? Like when they're on their, when they're living their life, you kind of finally separate that co-parenting piece, and it only probably pops in when there's big things that go on for our children, marriage, child, you know, thing. But
Yeah.
we still don't have to like co-parent that unless it's sharing wage, sharing money for a wedding, or you know, like a, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like, I think it's just after they finally graduate college, and then it's like, okay, cool.
I think it might
Everyone
depend on
goes
the
to.
situation too, because it's like my reality of co-parenting is very different than what I would like it to be. So, in my ideal world, we would actually co-parent where we could do things like maybe have dinner once a week with our kids together, do some family things together for our kids. In the beginning, I invited the other parent to spend holidays with us, and we do joint birthdays because that was important to me that we continue to have, like a family environment for our kids and be friends for our kids. And I think that's what most people want to have happen. But the reality is that I want to co-parent where we communicate about our kids' issues. We communicate about school, about schedule, about what's going on with them, and we talk about it and we're on the same page for parenting. But the reality of the situation for me is that we are parallel parenting. Which is you do you on your time. I do me on my time. The kids have two very different households with two very different sets of expectations and rules and ways of interacting with emotions. And that's hard because that's not how I wanted it to be. But you also can't force the other person. I came to the space of realizing I can't force him to co-parent the way I want to. So again, I had to let go of those expectations. And so for us, like interacting is like maybe a text a week about something that's going on, me initiating it, maybe not getting a response back, and then like 5 minutes at drop off and pick up. So the amount of time we actually interact is so minimal that I'm like, I can see as my kids become teenagers. Unless we're like going to sporting events, there's going to be no way that we're interacting if things continue in this trajectory. So I think it just depends on like the situation because I could see my kids
I
graduating from
know.
high school and like never, I would never see their dad ever again. Like, I'd be
100%,
okay with
100%. I
that.
know, you're so, that's so fun. This morning, actually, funny enough, Carrie and I were sending each other pictures back and forth of little Caden, and like
Aww.
just dying over how cute, because she came across like, because I was listening to Caden talk on FaceTime last night with friends, and it was so adorable just hearing their social interaction. But hearing my kid belly laugh reminded me of when she was little. Like it's the same belly laugh, it's just a little bit of a lower tone because she's older, but it
Yeah.
was so adorable. So I was like,
That's so
yeah, she
sweet.
was so cute. She was so cute laughing last night. And she goes, yeah, I've been saving, she's like, I've been saving photos through the tween years so that I can look at these baby pictures and remind myself when our teenagers are total jerks, right? Like they just go through their
Yeah.
own hormonal, and you have to look at those baby pictures to remind yourself that she's just still our the little child that we love so much.
Still the babies, but you would consider that you two have a co-parenting relationship,
We
right?
parallel parent, like we are on the
Yeah.
same page.
So you co-parent. So
We
co-parenting is where you
co-parent.
communicate, you're on the same page, and then
Yes.
parallel parenting is like you're on
Oh yeah, no
this,
parallel.
like, yeah, completely.
We're like this. Crisscross. Like we just do it all together. Yeah. It's all based on Caden, and we talk through everything and discuss camp and those scheduling and all that sort of stuff. I will say Carrie still does all most of that camp scheduling, and I just send the money I'm supposed to send, you know, like here's my half. And I don't hate that. And it helps her brain get, you know, organized. And So we still have those same roles that when we were in the marriage together, but now it's just a lot lighter and a lot friendlier.
Love that.
No more resentment or any, if there was, if there is, was any, you know what I mean? Like, who's
Yeah.
pulling more weight, who's not? It's just is what it is.
Yeah, the resentment, that's something I think for me, I'm still learning to let go of the reality of being a single mother. My reality is so different from the other parents' reality.
Well, it's one thing if you were just, you had your kids 24/7 and maybe they went there one weekend every other whatever, or the dad is not in it at all. You can just literally buckle in and it would actually make your life easier in that case. Like for me,
Yeah.
the situation is really vastly different. It's actually really pleasant and our lives are both easier because of how we show up for each other. I think for instances like you and for other moms, single moms out there, or even single dads, right? Like some single dads who are fucking crushing it out there. I don't want to
Oh,
like
yeah.
say that there's not a ton of awesome men out there who aren't just
Yeah.
crushing it, because I want to give them props too, because they're out there doing their thing. And
Yes, they are.
so but in your situation, since we're talking about this year after, it's like it would be just so much easier if you were just on board. Like it would be hard on other levels, but it would be easier because you would just be you're the cadence, how they are, they're regulating, all the
Yeah.
things.
Yeah, my poor kids, it's so hard when they go back and forth without, much of a break. It's like, they get a couple of days with me, then a couple of days with dad, a couple of days with me, a couple of days with dad. And I have them more when you calculate it out. But the resentment I have to release sometimes is that just really realizing that in every situation of our lives, we are the co-creators of our life. And I made a choice 10 years ago. That led me to where here I am today, and I can't go back and undo that choice.
Correct,
But then I
correct.
made a choice to improve my life, and my life has
Yep.
greatly improved, and my children's lives have greatly improved. And so I just have to like look at it for what it is and release the resentment. Like the entire time I was married, I was the one who took care of everything. Now that I'm not married, I'm still the one who takes care of everything. That's just how it's going to be. And I have to find peace with that and find the silver linings. Like, my kids are so lucky that they have a mom who's fully present and takes care of everything for them and has it dialed in. And they don't have to worry about it because they know I'm going to handle it. And they're also lucky that they have a dad who does fun stuff with them on the weekends, because not every kid but divorced parents can say that they get to spend their weekends doing fun things with their dad, if they get to see their dad at
Totally.
all. So
It's so true.
I'm constantly having to release the resentment, the anger, the frustration, and find the silver linings and make my peace with it.
So then this year, what have been some really like markable, I don't know, like better, like improvements in your life around all that? Like, what's improved about sort of closing that chapter and
Well, it's interesting
starting
because at the
fresh?
same time that my divorce was like finalizing, I was also dating somebody. And so now I've been single for a year. I dated that person just for a couple of months, and it ended shortly after my divorce closed. And so now I've been truly single for coming up on a year. And that is probably the greatest gift I've given myself, to just let myself have time to adjust to being myself by myself in relationship with myself and not having a relationship.
Is your ex dating anybody?
It's more of a question of when is my ex not dating multiple people unethically at the same time.
Oh my God.
If
Do they
my
does
ex
but does
has a
he introduce
partner,
them to does he introduce all of them to your kids or
no.
no? Okay.
No, but they've definitely, my kids have caught them at the house, like after bedtime, early in the morning.
That's awkward.
I've heard from people in my community about how they've seen him on dates with women with their kids in tow, but I know he introduces them as a friend because that's how I got introduced in the beginning, where I wasn't even his girlfriend until I was pregnant.
Oh
So
my God, that's so crazy
I'm
to me.
just like, well, yeah, he's probably dating like five people right now. I don't know. I don't know. But he won't, I don't know that I'll find out it's a serious person until it's really serious, if ever again.
So if someone or one of our listeners passes this episode on to somebody to this, this week, once it's published on and comes out on Wednesday, anything you would do over as far as how you would approach asking for the divorce, talking regarding the divorce, who you would let in, who you wouldn't. I mean, just anything that you might do totally different.
I didn't ask for a divorce, and we had never discussed divorce. I just, November 1st, 2021, he came into the living room and started an argument when I'd been sitting there peacefully with my kids. And I just looked at him and I said, "We're done. I'm done." And that was that. And I moved out a month later. Just, I left no room for negotiation. It was a personal choice for me of like, I've given you the opportunities to try to fix things. I've given you the opportunity to change. We tried couples counseling a couple of times and it didn't go great. And by the point I got to the decision-making point, it was just, no, I'm done. I'm choosing myself. And of course, there were all kinds of like narratives of like, oh, well, maybe if we did something, tried something else, it could be, but in that moment, I just had this moment of clarity. It was just like, no, I'm done. That's it. And I'm really, I think the thing I would tell people is if you're already asking the question in your head, if you should get divorced, if you've been asking that question for a while, or you find yourself wondering things like, oh, what would it be like to date again? Or just feeling so disconnected from that person, you probably really know the answer already. You should take some time to sit with yourself and really hear yourself.
Yeah, I think it's interesting when you're going through the process and getting it, because I think that process of when we want to end a relationship or a marriage, it doesn't matter. It's all breakups suck no matter what. Divorce just adds an extra element that has to be taken and followed in the proper steps and all of that sort of stuff. There's a process to it, as opposed to a breakup where you're just like, okay, now I need to get some boxes and pack shit up and move out. But I think around the time where you start to examine if this person is for you, and if this relationship is working for you any longer, it's finally like you just are finally putting the lens, and I know you love that word, putting the lens back on ourselves for the first time in a long time. I mean, if you've had therapy and gone in and out of couples therapy and things like that, then you are kind of self-examining through all of that. But it's not till you're just like, whoa, what do I need to do to get to where I want to be? And then you have to create this new foundation for yourself within yourself, like that safety. And then it's a matter of like, who do you let in? Who do you not? Who can keep the secret of your thought process? And then do I go to therapy? Do I seek a divorce counselor, a mediator? Like all those steps have to come into it. But the first step is us self-examining ourselves, or maybe that's redundant, self-examining to acknowledge our part in it so that we can examine ourself through that process. as well as examining the life you want after that. Like, what do you see for yourself? Do we need to stay in this city? Do we need to stay in this state? Is it, what's happening? And if you have kids, then what does that look like? And if you don't have kids, that's what does that look like?
And it can be really overwhelming early in the process. Even if you are divorcing, separating, and it's amicable, it's still overwhelming. Because it is, it's you're completely changing your life.
It's draining.
It's draining, it's exhausting, it's just overwhelming, I think is the word I would really use to describe it. And I just remember looking back at the beginning of the process and like feeling so strong on some days and then just completely breaking down on other days and not knowing how the fuck I was gonna make any of it work.
I know.
And I will say, you remember like our sweet friend Angie, who came on the podcast, I'll never forget early in my divorce process, she said something to me that just really set in with me. She was like, someone told me when I was getting divorced, that there's gonna be a light at the end of the tunnel. So just keep going. And hearing that gave me a lot of courage. And so that's something I would say to anyone who's in the breakup process, divorce, or in the middle of the divorce. Keep going. Keep going.
I
Because
know. Did you
two and a
let
half
people
years
in?
after I started my process, like I can breathe. I can breathe and I'm out of the tunnel.
Did you let people in when you knew you wanted, like, that day, that November, that you were like, I'm done? Did you call anybody? Did you share that with anybody? Or did you keep that to yourself for a little bit?
So actually that I can't remember if it was that same night or the next night, but I had a photo studio that I was
Oh
renting.
yeah, I remember that in
And
Portland.
yeah, and so what I did was I started staying at the photo studio at night. So my kids didn't know yet what was going on. I wasn't ready for them to know yet, and I wanted him and I to work out some logistics about who was staying in the house and all of that before telling them. And so I was staying at the photo studio, and I can't remember honestly if it was that same night or the next night, but very soon after telling him we're getting divorced, I'm done. My sweet friends Mary and Angela came to the photo studio and sat with me, and I told them all about it, and they just held me and were there for me. And those two, shout out to them because they were my lifeline for the past 2.5 years. I mean, up until recently, we were talking every single day in our group chat message, and they've just been such a huge support for me. So, yeah, I was really open about it from the get-go with my friends. I didn't feel like I needed to hide it. I wasn't feeling embarrassed about it. I wasn't feeling shame around it. If I experienced any of those emotions, it came from people trying to project them onto me. And I wasn't feeling them internally because I'm that person. When I've made a decision, that's that, and I'm not gonna let anybody shame me for it.
I think it's an yeah, no, totally. And there's so many different ways to go about it. Like, I heard recently that they have a house close by because they have four kids, and they didn't want the kids to have to, like, have they didn't want two sets of clothes for each kid, like all that sort of stuff. So they have a little house that they go back and forth, so that it's so, and I always thought that was really cool. In fact, I was like, if Carrie and I wanted to do that at one point, but with one kid, it makes it really, it's not as hard. But I think if you have a couple of kids, or you just don't want them to have to live, I mean, Kaden doesn't live out of suitcase by any means, but the old days we did. Because you just went to your, like, I went to my dad's every other weekend, and I still just can't believe he didn't have us, like, 1 week on, 1 week off, or at least more. We just made do with that every other weekend. It just seems so crazy. Like,
Yeah, and
I
that was
couldn't do that.
something I initially tr was trying to avoid, my kids not seeing their dad often because he was a child of divorce. And he only got to see his dad
every other weekend for 2 days. And that was a big wound for him. And so I know in our divorce process, when we started, I was trying so hard to make it accessible for both of us still with our kids because I didn't want him to lose that time with them. And that's the reason our schedule is set up the way it is now, which it's a frustrating schedule. But like I said, the silver lining is even though he was a shitty partner and sometimes I struggle with how he is as a dad, he still shows up for our kids and has his time with them. And I have to practice gratitude for that because that's not everyone's story. And there's
True.
not often a lot of parents who do fight to have that time with their kids. So I always have to go back to finding the little pieces of gratitude within that because there's so many different situations. It could look so different, you know?
Totally. Are you in the school of really missing your kids the minute they go, or do you kind of take a little bit of a break, like a sigh of relief, to like have a few days by yourself? There's so many different ways that parents react to the separation or the, transition
Yeah.
days and separation.
It depends on the week. There's weeks where, like this week, both of my kids were emotional roller coasters. And by Thursday night, when it was time to take them to the dad, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait
You
to,
were
I
spent.
can't
You
wait to have,
needed.
I was exhausted. I mean, but it wasn't just me, like her teacher, like one of my oldest, she was really struggling in school this week. And so her teacher was like struggling and we were talking about it. And it's like, there are some weeks where it's just, the amount of parenting I'm doing by myself is and working and making sure the bills are paid and taking care of everything else. It's like I just get so wiped, but by the time the Thursday night rolls around, I'm like, oh, thank goodness. But even within that, I know early in my divorce process, I posted on Facebook, I was like, oh, you know, will it ever get easier missing my kids on the weekend? And so many people were like, you'll get used to it, it'll be okay, all of that. I can honestly tell you that I don't spend a single weekend where I'm not thinking about my kids and missing them. Even on the weekend, even on the weeks where it's been difficult and hard, I still miss my kids. I still wish I could be with them all the time. And I don't know if that's ever going to change.
Yeah, I know people ask me a lot, like, oh, you miss, because it's 1 week on, 1 week off, and do I miss her? I go, we can text each other. I mean, where she's a tween, she's almost a teenager now. And so with her phone, it makes it a lot easier. Like she sent me a TikTok the other day and I was like, oh, that's funny. Love you, baby. Have a good day at school. And she said, love you, mama. So I think, we can tap into each other kind of whenever we want.
I do. I call my kids, even though when they're not with me, I try to call them at least once or twice on the weekend, which I know a lot of people have mixed opinions about. There's a lot of different schools of thought on that, whether or not you should try to talk to
Well,
your
yeah, I
kids a
mean,
little bit like they're the
because
parents.
Well,
But
sometimes it does. It depends on the kids. Sometimes it really disrupts that connection and let that flow for that period of time. But it depends on the kid because sometimes they just need to just tether themselves a little bit and touch base, and then they're actually better for the rest of
yeah,
that time.
and I've taken the lead from my kids. So I'm checking it. I'm checking with them frequently, like, hey, do you want me to call you when you're with dad or not? And so far still it's yes, please call us because you know, we want to call you, but dad always says that you're busy. So when you call us, it lets us know that, you know, you're thinking about us and they want to hear from me. So until they tell me, mom, don't call us when we're with dad, I'm gonna keep calling. And you know, he doesn't do the same. He doesn't contact the kids when he's not with them. So we do things differently. But I always just kind of take the lead from my kids with what they're comfortable with and what makes them feel good.
Yeah, I mean, I typically don't reach out to Kaden very often unless I want to share something with her, just because honestly, the week goes by pretty fast for me now. I think when you get used to that cadence, it's like, oh my God, it's already like I have 2 more days by myself until she's going to be there. It's, or it depends on that. But yeah, I think I just know that she's being well taken care of, and if she's not happy, she'll call me and tell me like she needs me or wants to chat or whatever. So I let her lead that as well. I know. I mean, what else can you do? But so it's a year later, not slowing down at all, and you're just doing your thing.
Just doing my thing. I'm single. I love where my life is at, truly. And that is such a blessing because I look back 2.5 years ago and I was fucking miserable. And
I know. It's pretty crazy how
I
that
feel
time goes.
so deeply reconnected to myself. I feel connected to what I love to do, what I'm here to do, my purpose, all of that. And it's just life feels really good. And that's not to say that I don't have days where there's ups and downs, but in general, the state of my life is in a really good space, and I'm grateful for that.
I would say you're definitely co-creating or design creating and designing what you want your life to look like. And I think that's just where everyone has to get to, male, female, whatever it is. But when you go through a divorce, having that time for yourself and learning what is important to you and how you want your life to be and look like going forward is just it's that's the fun stuff. Like you're now designing the life you want, and regardless if you decide you want it, like we've been talking about normalizing just being single, and there's a lot of pages out there who are just like, yeah, enjoy being single because you may not be there forever. But otherwise, it's just about creating joy in life. And there's a lot of joy after getting through all of that and enjoying and re reaping those rewards that you walk there to get.
Someone asked me recently in conversation about the first year of divorce coming up if I would ever get married again.
Oh, yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good question. What's your answer to that?
I say no.
You say no.
I say I'm good with like a commitment ceremony or just like wearing rings. I mean, I want whoever I'm with, I want to choose one another daily, kind of like Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. Like they've just not slowed down ever. And I really love their relationship that is completely devoted to one another and their family that they've created. Because even her kids mostly all call Kirk dad, it's really sweet because he's been there for so long. And so I think that'll be enough for me. Like I don't need to have the piece of government paper any longer. It doesn't, it and honestly doesn't mean a lot to me.
I think, I'm open to it either way. Marriage was never something that was important to me, which is so funny because that was something I had told the person I married before we, got in a relationship, that marriage wasn't important to me, but commitment was important and having a healthy relationship was important. And now looking back, I'm like, I would be open to getting married again because I didn't get to have the wedding experience I wanted to have. And I think it'd be fun to do an actual fun wedding with friends and family and have a celebration, but it's more about the celebration and the commitment than the legalities. I could care less about the legalities. Like, I'm never going to change my last name again. Even if I'm committed to someone or I get married with someone, I'm not changing my last name ever again. Like, my name is my name and that's it. That's for life. And but am I open to it? I am. I think I am open to
That's nice. I'm really not. I don't really. I mean,
And
unless the
that's okay
person is,
too.
unless my partner is just like they've never been married, they want to have that experience. That's what I mean. I would be like, that's fine. We can have them have a ceremony to acknowledge all of it, but I don't know if I need like a piece of paper that defines it, puts us in a box or whatnot. I just, yeah. I mean, it's
It's the
funny because I was
relationship that
thinking,
matters.
It is, and I was asking a couple of friends the other day, because when you're filling out like medical forms and stuff or
Yeah.
insurance forms, it asks you single, divorced, separated, whatever. It's like, how long do we put divorce? But I guess we're always divorced.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
We
Yeah.
will always be divorced.
Always be divorced. Interesting. Interesting.
I know, right? Anything else you want to add?
No, I think I said everything I wanted to say.
Nice.
Yeah,
Well,
this is another good
again, I always
episode.
love it. I know, I love it. I love some of these shorter, fun episodes. We've got, I know, guests coming and things like that, but
Yeah, we
it's
have some
awesome.
amazing guests. I mean, we've had amazing guests, and we have
I
more
know.
amazing guests coming, and I'm very excited about it.
Me too. I'm always excited to do this with you.
Same friend. Love you.
Love you too.
If you enjoyed this episode today, be sure to subscribe and share, because what do we say, baby?
Sharing is caring.